So, very good to see all of you again. Did you think about the teachings that you've been hearing the last few sessions? I know, yeah. Go ahead, Rami.
Teman-teman merenungkan apa yang telah dibahas di beberapa pertemuan sebelumnya.
I noticed last time when I started to talk about the mind training verses and how to think when you face difficult situations, you all kind of perked up and, was like really interested in this. I'm wondering if you tried to practice it.
Saya ingat ketika saya membahas tentang latihan pikiran dan Anda banyak yang terkejut dan saya bertanya-tanya apakah Anda juga turut mempraktikkannya.
Anybody?
Okay. Anyone can answer, please. Yang lain boleh jawab tuh, boleh berbagi.
Honorable, maybe I can have a few words here.
Okay.
The more we learn, the more we aware, the more we realize that so many things that we have to improve in ourselves, and so many things that we have to not only learning, but we also need to practice to make it in action from what we have learned, which is really, I have to be very honest, which is really, really, really very hard.
That's why I'm asking if anybody practiced between the time I taught and now. Anybody try and really change their mind using these teachings?
Jadi pertanyaannya, apakah kita berkesempatan mempraktikkan ajaran tentang transformasi pikiran ini? Karena ini adalah sebuah ajaran yang membutuhkan praktik dan memang sulit ya untuk dapat dilakukan dalam kehidupan sehari-hari.
It's really important to try and put into practice in your daily lives what you hear, because Buddhism isn't just for, well, it's nice to listen to, and then after that, I'll go do something else. It's really something to try and put in our hearts and put in our lives, because that way we'll really benefit from the teachings and our mind will calm down.
Karena ajaran Buddha itu sesuatu yang bukan hanya enak didengar dan itu selesai, melainkan ajaran-ajaran yang harus kita terapkan dalam kehidupan sehari-hari agar kita juga dapat membuat pikiran kita menjadi jernih. Vulnerable, I think I can show you one thing if you don't, if you have some time.
You can share something.
I mean the practice, I mean.
Oh, you want me to lead you through?
No, I mean I would like to tell you that Vulnerable was asking about whether we have practice or not, and I think I have a something to share about the practice.
Oh, good. Okay, go ahead.
So I've been having, in Indonesia, we have, me especially in my group, we have a program, and we plan to run the program all over Indonesia.
And, you're not really clear, Moming. Can you be closer to your mic, maybe?
Okay, we have a we have a national program to, let's say, to share to Buddhists about tolerance, religious tolerance. And I'm having a difficulty in one area, in one region in Indonesia, where the leader is not really supportive to the program. And he was like, you cannot do this because of COVID-19. So do not have gathering. And I'm sorry, you can do it online. However, at the same time, he allowed another program to run offline. So you can tell that she was discriminating my program and other programs. And then I really feel that sometimes the people, I mean, he and his group is, let's say, quite discriminative because they do not support what I'm trying to do. But then hopefully, I think this verse is really helpful to make me realize that he is not an enemy. And Venerable always say that, the Buddhist path or this Bodhisattva path is the other way around. I mean, it's the way we do things, it's very the opposite. So I try to see from his point of view. And I try to, let's say, persuade some people, but in a soft, not in a harsh way. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, say it in Bahasa Indonesian so everybody else understands.
Jadi ini lagi ada program buat moderasi agama ya di MBI. Terus saya menemukan kesulitan karena ada satu daerah yang kurang kooperatif. Mereka mengatakan bahwa ini kan lagi COVID, jadi jangan ada pertemuan tatap muka. Tapi ternyata di lembaga yang lain pertemuan tatap mukanya diizinkan gitu. Jadi kayak diskriminasi lah. Jadi saya pikir alih-alih saya menghadapinya dengan cara-cara yang tidak terampil, saya berusaha lebih soft, lebih pelan ya, mempengaruhi supaya kegiatan ini bisa tetap jalan. Thank you, Venerable.
Okay. So that's a very good example because very often when we have different ideas or we're in a conflict with somebody, we very quickly judge the other person and they're bad and they're uncooperative and they're negative and they're this and they're that. And when we form that kind of very solid image of somebody, then we don't speak very nicely to them. We don't try and understand how they're seeing the situation. And as a result, the dispute never gets resolved. But what you did is you tried to talk to them and, in a gentle way and get them interested, listen to what they said. And that was because you didn't make them into an enemy to start with.
Yes.
Yeah?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the support. Jadi kalau kita mengalami satu konflik dengan orang, kita perlu untuk membuat bayangan mental ya tentang orang tersebut dan isi bayangan itu biasanya hal-hal negatif. Nah, hal seperti itu menyulitkan kita untuk dapat mengatasi persoalan yang ada. Jadi alih-alih kita bersikap keras, maka sebaiknya kita juga bersikap lembut agar kita dapat berkomunikasi dan menyelesaikan konflik yang terjadi.
Okay, so to really understand what you're doing when you, how to not make somebody else into an enemy, it's very helpful to meditate quite often about the kindness of other living beings. Because the more we can see kindness, the harder it is to concretize somebody into a truly existent forever enemy.
Jadi salah satu teknik ya supaya kita dapat mengatasi ini adalah kita memeditasikan kebaikan orang tersebut ya. Jadi semakin sering kita memeditasikan kebaikannya, maka semakin sulit kita untuk dapat membentuk sebuah konsep bahwa dia adalah musuh abadi, ya, musuh yang selama-lamanya.
So this relates to verse 10 and verse 11 that we covered last time. Do you have them there? Can you read them out?
Yeah.
Huh? You don't have them?
I have it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 11 and 10, whatever.
10 and 11, yeah.
When your mother, ketika ibu Anda yang sangat mencintai Anda sejak waktu yang tanpa berawal, sedang menderita, apa gunanya kebahagiaanmu? Oleh sebab itu, bebaskanlah semua makhluk. Tumbuhkanlah niat tulus, inilah praktik bodhisattva. That's the verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 11 says, ya, semua penderitaan datang dari niat atau keinginan hanya demi kebahagiaan diri sendiri. Buddha yang sempurna lahir dari pemikiran untuk menolong orang lain. Oleh sebab itu, tukarlah kebahagiaanmu dengan penderitaan orang lain. Inilah praktik bodhisattva.
So what the verse 10 is getting at is we've had this very close relationship with others in previous life where they've been our mothers and fathers and we've been their mothers and fathers. And so as when they were our parents, they were very kind to us and took care of us and taught us and got up in the middle of the night to feed us when we were screaming and made sure we get an education. So when we think first, when we recognize that others have been our parents in previous lives, and then we remember the kindness of the parents, of our parents, then our whole outlook towards other living beings changes and it softens.
Baik, di kehidupan ini kita memiliki hubungan yang begitu luas ya, khususnya sejak masa yang tidak berawal. Jadi siapapun pernah menjadi ibu kita atau ayah kita, kita pernah menjadi ayah atau ibu bagi mereka. Dan ketika mereka menjadi ibu atau ayah kita, perhatikan bagaimana mereka begitu baik kepada kita. Dan dengan pemikiran ini, maka kita juga akan menjadi lebih lembut ketika berhadapan dengan orang lain.
Yeah. So you might say, but all these people, they don't look like my parents. You know? So imagine one way that they say about this is, let's say you were separated from your parents when you were a baby. And then, you know, you grew up, your parents aged, and you were walking down the street one day, and there was one woman sitting in the street. She was begging because she was very poor. And your first thought was just to ignore her. But then you looked again, and you recognized that that was your mother who you hadn't seen in maybe 20 or 30 years since you were a baby. And once you recognize that person as your mother, all of a sudden your whole attitude changes. And, you know, oh, there's your mother sitting in the street impoverished and hungry. Oh, I've got to do something for her. So the fact that you hadn't seen her in 20 or 30 years doesn't matter at all, because instantly you remember the close relationship and the kindness that you had received from her. And so you obviously want to help.
Ya, bayangkan bila misalnya ada orang yang tidak bertemu orang tuanya, ditinggal sejak kecil, dan seiring perjalanan waktu, 20 atau 30 tahun, Anda besar dan orang tua, di sini contohnya ibu itu, tiba-tiba Anda bertemu dengan seorang perempuan yang sedang mengemis. Awalnya Anda ingin mengacu, lalu tiba-tiba Anda tersadarkan bahwa itu adalah ibu Anda. Nah, ada keterpanggilan dari hati Anda, ya, yang ahli-ahlinya tadi hanya ingin mengabaikan, tapi Anda ingin menolongnya dari kemiskinan dan kelaparan yang dia sedang alami.
Okay, does that make some sense to you?
Apakah itu cukup masuk akal?
Yeah. So in the same way, people may have been our kind parents in a previous life. we haven't seen them for some time because we've been born in different places in samsara. But now when we see them, if we practice thinking, oh, they were my kind parents, you know, in one lifetime or another, then you automatically feel like you have some close connection to them, and automatically there's a feeling of kindness that you want to express to them.
Ya, karena ibu itu mempunyai hubungan yang erat dan dekat dengan kita, sehingga kita ingin mengekspresikan kasih sayang kita kepada dia. Demikian juga dengan begitu banyak makhluk ya yang telah menjadi ibu kita, orang tua kita, di berbagai kehidupan yang kita tidak tahu kapan. Nah, karena itulah meskipun sekarang semua makhluk itu bukan jadi ibu kita, artinya sekarang bukan, tapi dalam kehidupan-kehidupan sebelumnya mereka memiliki hubungan yang sangat erat dengan kita, sehingga kita ingin membangkitkan kasih sayang kepada mereka.
Yeah. So in the example that you gave, you know, you could have looked at that other man running the session and said, oh, he's so uncooperative. What am I going to do with him? Or you could look and you could say, oh, in a previous life, he was my kind parent. Yeah, so he's not a stranger. And he's actually just like me. He wants to be happy and he doesn't want to suffer. So, you know, let's start talking to him and see how we can work something out.
Ya. Jadi dalam kasus ini Anda juga bisa bersikap tidak suka sama orang itu, atau Anda dapat memandangnya sebagai ibu kita, orang tua kita, dan ini dapat membuat kita membuka sebuah dialog dan mencari jalan keluar untuk persoalan ini.
Okay, so we have to keep reminding ourselves like this and training ourselves to see other living beings in this kind of way. And if we practice that, then it becomes quite natural after a while.
Ya, dan kita dapat ya melihat kondisi seperti ini, mempelajarinya, dan kemudian lama-kelamaan kita akan terbiasa.
Okay, so last time we got to, we covered verse 16. And so verses 12, you know, through 16 and onwards, which we'll cover today, are from this genre of teachings called mind training. And so here we're... a special practice is taking difficulties into the path and transforming bad situations into ones where we can practice generating love and compassion and bodhicitta.
Ya, jadi bait-bait ini kita sudah bahas sampai ke 16. Ini adalah sebuah praktik untuk melatih pikiran sehingga kita dapat menggunakan atau menerapkan atau mengatasi persoalan-persoalan, masalah-masalah yang ada dalam hidup kita dan mengubahnya menjadi sebuah praktik untuk dapat kita lakukan untuk mencapai kesempurnaan.
Okay, so I'll just go over verse 16 again because we did that in a very quick way last time and then continue on. So verse 16 says, even if a person for whom you've cared like your own child regards you as an enemy, cherish him specially like a mother does her child who is stricken by sickness. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Bait 16 ini mengajarkan, meskipun seseorang yang Anda sangat sayangi, seperti anak Anda sendiri, menganggap Anda adalah musuh, bahagiakan dia seperti seorang ibu yang sedang merawat anaknya yang jatuh sakit. Inilah praktik bodhisattva.
So I think probably all of us have had the experience of somebody that we cared a great deal about turning their back on us and betraying the trust that we have placed in them.
Anda mungkin punya pengalaman seseorang yang Anda sangat percaya malah membalas Anda dengan buruk.
Sometimes this happens in romantic relationships, sometimes in a couple, employer-employee relationship, sometimes between parents and children. It happens a lot.
Yeah. Ini sering sekali terjadi dalam hubungan orang tua dengan anak, antar pasangan, dan juga hubungan antar pekerja dan pemberi kerja.
And when it happens, we feel so hurt, you know, because here was this person that we cared about and trusted, and they completely broke the trust. And we just feel like this a pain is horrible, and nobody else has felt such kind of pain like this before.
Dan kita merasa sangat sakit. Tidak ada orang di dunia ini yang pernah merasakan rasa sakit seperti saya, karena orang ini telah mengkhianati kepercayaan.
Okay, so this verse is telling us how to handle that situation. Okay, and it uses the example of a mother with a sick baby.
Dan syair ini mengajarkan kita cara mengatasinya dengan menggunakan contoh seorang ibu merawat bayinya yang sakit.
Okay, so if you were a parent and your child, as a baby, as a toddler, however old they are, they got a fever and they were delirious because of the fever. So they were hitting and screaming and saying they hated you and saying all sorts of things, but you know, it's not that they really felt that way. It's because due to the imbalance caused by the fever, that they were like out of their mind in a way.
Misalnya anak Anda sakit, ya, sakit demam, lalu dia bersikap yang sangat buruk. Dia mukul-mukul, dia teriak-teriak, dan sebagainya. Itu terjadi bukan karena dia mau, tapi sebenarnya karena dipengaruhi oleh demamnya, oleh rasa sakit.
Okay. Or sometimes you see children throwing temper tantrums, yeah, and they're just crying and say horrible things to their parents. But you know that the children really love their parents. Yeah, they know it's because of something else that's making them act that way. And so the parents don't take it personally. Yeah, the parents don't go, oh, my child hates me. You know, instead, they actually have more compassion for the child because they know that the child is sick.
Ya, jadi ketika si anak berperilaku yang sangat-sangat buruk, ya, sesungguhnya anak itu tidak membenci orang tuanya, si anak tetap menyayangi orang tuanya. Nah, orang tuanya paham, orang tuanya mengerti, dan itu di mereka lakukan, anak-anak melakukan seperti itu karena mereka sedang dalam keadaan sakit.
So in the same way, when we're in a relationship and somebody treats us very poorly and betrays our trust in them, to see that they are overcome by the afflictions in their own mind, they're overcome by ignorance, yeah, by anger, by attachment, and so they're not seeing the situation clearly.
Then, ketika seseorang memperlakukan kita dengan buruk, sebenarnya mereka sedang dikuasai oleh kemarahan, kejengkelan, afliksi, dan sebagainya, sehingga mereka memperlakukan kita dengan buruk.
Okay. Instead of getting mad at them, we can have compassion.
Ya, alih-alih kita marah kepada mereka, mari kita berwelas asih kepada dia.
Okay. We want them to be... We instead cultivate an attitude that wants them to be free of misery. Yeah.
Dan kita tumbuhkan niat agar mereka dapat segera bebas dari kesusahan yang mereka alami.
And if we think like that, then we don't get angry at them. And also our feelings aren't hurt because we know that they're under the control of ignorance and afflictions. They're not in their right mind. So we don't say, oh, you know, everything's horrible and I'm so mad at that person. They're so miserable.
Ya, kita tahu ya, kita sadar bahwa mereka sedang dalam pengaruh ya, afliksi dan ketidaktahuan, sehingga kita dapat memunculkan welas asih, sehingga kita jadi tidak mengatakan, oh, orang itu reseh, aduh, orang itu buruk banget. Nah, alih-alih kita malah memunculkan kasih sayang kepada dia.
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily mean you go back and have the same relationship with them that you had before. Yeah. But it does mean that at least you prevent that horrible emotional pain and the anger that wants to retaliate. And in that way, we don't create negative karma.
Ini bukan berarti kembali ke orang tersebut. Tidak, ya. Karena ini akan mencegah kita untuk mengalami kepedihan, sekaligus juga mencegah kita untuk punya niat dan bahkan melakukan balas dendam, dan akibatnya kita juga mencegah diri kita untuk melakukan karma buruk.
But this verse, for me, it makes me not just think of when people have betrayed my trust, okay, and treated me poorly, but it also makes me ask, when have I betrayed somebody else's trust and treated them poorly?
Ya, syair ini juga membuat saya berpikir, apakah saya pernah atau kapan saya mengkhianati kepercayaan orang atau memperlakukan mereka dengan buruk?
Okay, because we also know that when somebody treats us like this, probably in a previous lifetime, or maybe even earlier in this lifetime, we have behaved in a similar obnoxious way, inconsiderate, hurtful way to somebody else. And so it's just karma returning upon us from our own actions.
Ya, kita juga bisa merenungkan ya, tentang karma, bahwa ini adalah sebuah akibat dari perbuatan kita sendiri. Kita dapat merenungkan di satu kasa kehidupan, apakah kita juga pernah memperlakukan orang lain dengan cara-cara yang buruk seperti ini.
And personally speaking, I find it very helpful to think of karma in these kinds of unpleasant situations. Because then instead of blaming the other person out of anger, it makes me really reflect on my own actions and change them. Because I can't control somebody else's actions. The only thing I can control are my actions and my way of thinking. So when I think according to karma, it makes me be more considerate in the future of how I treat other people, because I don't want to cause them this kind of pain, because I'm experiencing the result now of having caused others that pain, because now I'm experiencing that kind of pain. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, Venerable. Jadi poinnya adalah kita memahami karma. Memahami bahwa saya sedang mengalami sebuah kepedihan yang, nah, dengan perenungan ini, maka saya juga akan berhati-hati ketika bersikap dan bertindak. Kenapa? Karena saya tidak mampu untuk mengontrol dan mengendalikan perbuatan orang kepada saya. Yang saya dapat lakukan adalah mengendalikan dan mengontrol bagaimana cara saya berpikir, bertindak, dan sebagainya. Dengan perenungan tentang karma ini, saya sadari bahwa kepedihan ini juga adalah akibat dari perbuatan saya, dan saya juga tidak akan membuat orang lain merasakan penderitaan yang sama.
Yeah. And this is a very good way to think, because if we think, if we are in the habit of blaming and it's this person's fault and they're so mean and they're so terrible, nah, 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 then we make ourselves into a victim because we can't make them change.
Yeah. But dan, ya, dan ini membuat kita tidak terjebak dalam pola-pola pemikiran menyalahkan orang, ini salah dia, itu salah dia, dan membuat kita jadi korban. Kenapa? Karena kita tidak dapat mengubah orang lain.
Okay. So this is a very good practice. Whenever you catch yourself starting to complain about someone or something, stop and say, when have I acted in a similar way towards other people? And then realize that it's just the karma coming around.
Ya, dan ketika ini terjadi kepada Anda, Anda dapat berhenti dan merenungkan apa yang telah saya perbuat kepada orang lain, dan sadari bahwa ini adalah sebuah karma yang sedang terjadi kepada saya.
Okay. And we can change our own karma. We can change our actions, can't we? So that gives us something positive that we can do that will change the situation.
Nah, dan bukankah kita dapat mengubah karma kita, mengubah perilaku kita? Dan ini membuat kita dapat mengubah situasi dan kondisinya.
Okay, so we'll go on to verse 17. If an equal or inferior person disparages you out of pride, place her as you would your spiritual teacher with respect on the crown of your head. This is the practice of bodhisattva.
Syair ini berbunyi, bila seseorang yang setara atau lebih rendah daripada Anda, itu meremehkan Anda karena ketinggi hatian dia, letakkanlah dia, ya, seperti Anda akan meletakkan guru spiritual Anda di atas kepala Anda. Jadi, ini sudah meremehkan kita, tapi kita letakkan dia di tempat tertinggi, yaitu di mahkota kepala kita.
Okay, so let's say, give an example, you're at work and there's a colleague who you know more about a certain thing at work and how to make it happen, and you have more skill in that area than a colleague, but that colleague is kind of inflated with arrogance and pride. And they come up and start disparaging you and telling you that you don't understand anything about this project and that they're the ones who need to be the leader because they understand it much better than you are. In you.
Ya. Okay. Contohnya di tempat kerja ya, Anda ini yang paling jago lah, paling terampil. Tapi ada rekan kerja yang, let's say, lebih bodoh dari Anda, dia meremehkan Anda, dia mengatakan kamu nggak cocoknya saya. Jadi kita tuh direndah-rendahkan sedikit.
Okay. Then how do you usually feel? What do you want to do when that happens? I'm sure we've had situations like that.
Apa perasaan Anda? Saya yakin pernah mengalami kondisi seperti itu.
Okay. We usually get pretty ticked off at them, don't we? We want to put them in their place and tell them to be quiet and that they don't know what they're talking about.
Ya, kita mau usir dia, suruh diam aja, kamu tuh enggak tahu apa-apa kok.
In other words, we're getting angry and we want to dump our anger on them. Make them feel bad.
Dengan kata lain, kita marah, kita mau tumpahkan kemarahan kita kepada dia dan membuat dia merasa buruk.
So, what does the author of our text, Togme Sampo, recommend? To put the person on top of the crown of your head, which is where we usually visualize our spiritual mentor. to put them on the crown of our head and have a respectful attitude as we would if they were our spiritual mentor.
Dan apa saran yang diberikan kepada kita? Ya, kita letakkan orang tersebut ya di atas kepala kita, tempat yang tertinggi, tempat di mana kita membayangkan atau letakkan guru atau mentor spiritual kita di tempat yang tertinggi tersebut.
Okay. So, of course, this is the opposite of how we want to act, isn't it?
Ya, tentu ini adalah kebalikan ya dari apa yang kita ingin lakukan kepada dia.
Yeah, which is precisely why it's an antidote to the anger that we feel in that situation.
Itulah mengapa syair ini adalah penawar di kemarahan kita di situasi seperti ini.
Okay. So, I was thinking, you know, as I was reading this verse, I was thinking a little bit of the, you know, because in the U.S. we're having an election. So last week there was a debate between the two vice presidents, or two people who could be vice president. So one was a man and one was a woman, okay? And the women will know very well what I'm talking about here. There's a thing called mansplaining, where men interrupt when women are speaking and they start talking and explaining the situation as if the woman didn't know what they were talking about. Women, have you experienced that?
Jadi ini tanda-tanda cerita kondisi yang perempuan ya mungkin pernah mengalaminya, karena di Amerika ini kan ada debat wakil presiden di masanya adalah perempuan. Jadi ketika si perempuan lagi berbicara, maka si laki-laki menginterupsi dan menjelaskan segala sesuatunya seakan-akan dia jauh tahu. Jadi teman-teman perempuan di sini, apakah Anda paham apa yang saya maksud atau pernah mengalami hal yang sama?
Hello, anybody?
Hello, anybody?
I see some of the men smiling, like maybe realizing they do that.
in certain areas, yes, we do that.
Yeah. So at this debate, you know, on national television, that's what was happening. The woman was speaking and the man kept interrupting her and trying to talk over her. And when you're a woman, if you try, you know, if you act forcefully and say, you know, be quiet, I'm speaking, then people go, oh, you're terrible. How can a woman speak like that? But this woman, she's a lawyer and she's really sharp. She just looked at him and she said, sir, I am speaking. And he kept talking. Sir, I am speaking. Please let me continue. And she just spoke in that nice voice, but she kept repeating it until he got the message that he needed to be quiet. But it was very nice to see this happen on TV and on the way she handled it very gracefully.
Okay. Jadi debat wakil presiden ini kan salah satu calonnya perempuan, satu lagi laki-laki. Yang laki-laki selalu menginterupsi. Nah, kalau perempuan kemudian ngomongnya sedikit kasar. Dan orang-orang kan bilang, kamu kan perempuan, kok ngomongnya kayak gitu? Nah, kebetulan calon wakil presiden ini mampu menyampaikan dengan cara yang halus, dengan cara yang sopan, dan mengulanginya berkali-kali. Jadi ketika dia bicara,
si perempuan yang bicara, lawan bicaranya kemudian menginterupsi, maka si perempuan bilang, Tuan, saya sedang berbicara. Dan berkali-kali mengucapkan itu dengan cara yang halus dan sopan. Dan ini dilakukan dengan sangat indah.
So that's an example of how she dealt with the situation, but in a very respectful way.
Ini contoh ya, dia mengatasi kondisi tersebut dengan cara yang sopan.
Okay. It was funny. I found it quite amusing to watch that.
Yeah. But Venerable, the most funny one is the presidential debate. That's terrible.
The first one where Trump wouldn't be quiet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a very good example to teach our children how not to communicate.
Exactly. Exactly. Go ahead and translate.
Jadi kalau Anda tertarik ya, mudah-mudahan masih ada tuh video debat yang pertama ya antara Trump dengan Biden. Itu sangat-sangat kasar ya, sangat kasar. Trump itu selalu menginterupsi dan itu saya bilang adalah salah satu contoh untuk mengajarkan kepada anak-anak kita untuk tidak berkomunikasi dengan cara seperti itu.
And what was so strange about that situation is afterwards Trump said, "Oh, the debate went very well. You know, I think I did so well in the debate." But actually, everybody is looking at him like he's, you know, a jerk, and he doesn't get it.
I couldn't believe. Yes, jadi Trump itu bilang kalau debatnya bagus banget, saya melakukannya dengan sangat baik, dan Trump tidak paham bahwa orang-orang mengatakan bahwa dia itu brengsek.
Yeah. Okay. So I find in situations like this, again, I look and I say, have I ever acted like that? Because if I act like that, then, you know, I may be arrogant and think I look really good, but other people are going to be laughing at me.
Yeah. Dan saya merenung apakah saya pernah melakukan seperti itu, bahwa saya berpikir bahwa saya ini hebat banget, jago banget. Tapi orang-orang di belakang saya malah menertawakan saya.
Yeah. Actually, I think President Trump for me is an excellent Dharma teacher. I learned so much from watching him.
Ya, dan Presiden Trump itu adalah guru Dharma yang bagus sekali. Saya belajar banyak dari memperhatikan dia.
No, seriously, he teaches me so much about karma. Yeah.
Dia mengajarkan banyak sekali tentang karma.
Yeah, and so much about, you know, what bad behavior looks like and what arrogance looks like and also what the karmic results of acting like that look like. Yeah. So you can watch this whole thing on the news and it's an incredible Dharma teaching.
Ya, di kita bisa lihat bagaimana dia mengajarkan tentang perilaku yang buruk, tentang akibat-akibat karma, dan kita bisa banyak melihat ajaran Dharma di berita-berita.
So verse 18, though you lack what you need and are constantly disparaged, afflicted by dangerous sickness and spirits, without discouragement, take on the misdeeds and the pain of all living beings. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Saya dapat lihat, meskipun Anda, meskipun yang Anda miliki atau apa yang Anda butuhkan kurang dan Anda terus diremehkan, kemudian dipengaruhi oleh sakit, bahaya, dan spirit, dengan tetap berani, ya, lakukanlah jalan dan
Ya, dengan gagah berani ambil semua keliruan, kesalahan makhluk dan penderitaan makhluk lain. Artinya, meskipun kita tidak punya kapasitas yang cukup, tapi kita tetap gagah, kita berani untuk mengambil kesalahan orang lain dan penderitaan makhluk lain.
So here, you can think of a time, because we all go through rough spots in our life. We all go through periods of time where just, you know, we're sick or we're not getting along with people or, you know, we're getting treated poorly and we're just in a bad mood all the time.
Ya, ada waktunya di mana kita mengalami hal yang buruk, kita diperlakukan buruk, kita punya perasaan mood yang tidak baik, ya. Itu di satu masa pasti pernah terjadi dalam kehidupan kita.
Yeah, people criticize us when we haven't done the slightest thing wrong.
Kita dikritik meskipun tidak berbuat salah sedikit pun.
Okay. And so often when we experience these kinds of times in our life, then we feel really down. We get so depressed and so discouraged and nothing in my life is working out. What am I going to do?
Itulah di masa kita sangat jatuh, kita sangat terpuruk, dan kita berenung, berpikir, apa yang dapat saya lakukan, ya? Apa yang saya harus kerjakan dalam hidup saya?
Okay. So what this verse is saying is when you're in that kind of situation, instead of just sitting there feeling sorry for ourselves, do the taking and giving meditation, imagining that we're taking on the pain of all living beings.
Jadi syair ini menyarankan alih-alih kita duduk dan merenung akan keterpurukan ini, lakukanlah meditasi mengambil dan menerima, ya, di mana kita mengambil semua kepedihan dari makhluk-makhluk yang ada.
So last time I spoke a little bit about that meditation, the taking and giving one. So I'll just review it now.
Ya, kita pernah mengupas itu, ya, meditasi mengambil dan menerima.
Okay. So you imagine when you're in a bad mood or you're sick or whatever, when that's happening, you imagine in front of you other people who are experiencing difficulties in their lives.
Jadi saat Anda sedang terpuruk, Anda dapat memeditasikan orang yang sedang mengalami kesulitan dalam hidup.
And then you generate a feeling of compassion, wishing them to be free of that suffering.
Dan Anda tumbuh kembangkan welas asih agar mereka bebas dari penderitaan tersebut.
And you imagine that their suffering comes out of them in the form of like pollution or smoke.
Dan Anda bayangkan penderitaan mereka itu keluar dari tubuhnya dalam bentuk polusi atau bentuk asap.
And then you imagine this pollution and smoke coming towards you and transforming into like a thunderbolt or a lightning bolt. And it strikes in the center of your chest, where you imagine your own self-centeredness in the form of a dark lump. And so when this thunderbolt hits it, your self-centeredness just is demolished.
Jadi polusi tadi kemudian dibayangkan berubah menjadi sejenis petir yang menyambar tepat di tengah hati Anda, di mana di situ ada ilustrasi tentang diri kita, ego kita, yang dalam bentuk cahaya atau lampu yang gelap. Nah, petir itu menyambar tepat mengenai lampu tersebut, dan lampu tersebut itu kemudian lenyap.
Okay. So what you're doing is you're taking on others' suffering, which they don't want, and you're transforming it into this thunderbolt And then you're using it to destroy what you don't want, which is your own self-centered attitude, because that attitude keeps you so limited in your life.
Ya, Anda mengambil apa yang tidak diinginkan orang, yaitu penderitaan mereka, dan penderitaannya berubah menjadi petir yang kemudian menghancurkan sesuatu yang juga Anda tidak mau, ya, yaitu sikap egoistik kita yang berlebihan yang menghalangi diri kita.
Okay. And so when the thunderbolt strikes your heart and destroys the self-centeredness, then there's just this wide open space in your chest, yeah. So instead of feeling all cramped up, there's this wide open space. And then you imagine that your love, which wants other people to be happy, appears in that space in the form of a very beautiful, gentle light.
Ya, lalu karena setelah hancur, Anda merasakan sebuah ruang yang sangat lega, okay? Dan dari sana muncul kasih sayang Anda, cinta Anda dalam bentuk cahaya yang lembut, yang putih, yang lembut.
Okay. And so you radiate that light out to all the different sentient beings, especially those who were just suffering, whose suffering you took. And you imagine that you're radiating that light out, and as it touches sentient beings, it's just like their body is healed, their mind relaxes, their depression and discouragement vanish.
Dan Anda bisa membayangkan Anda memancarkan cahaya itu ke semua makhluk, kepada orang-orang yang sedang menderita, dan Anda bisa membayangkan bagaimana duka mereka kemudian menjadi lenyap.
Okay. And you imagine at that time that you're giving away your body, that your body transforms into whatever other people need, that you're giving away your possessions, and you're either even giving them your merit. And you're doing this totally with a mind of love, wanting them to be happy.
Dan Anda berikan semua, ya, yang mereka butuhkan, semua kepemilikan, bahkan kebajikan-kebajikan yang Anda sudah kumpulkan. Dan itu dilakukan dengan pikiran bahwa Anda ingin mereka bahagia.
And so at the end of the meditation, you feel quite good. You know, you started out in a bad mood, but you generated compassion and took on others' suffering, and then you generate love and give your body possessions and virtue, and you imagine all these sentient beings being very happy and even being transformed into a Buddha, so then you feel very happy.
Ya, dan setelah itu Anda akan merasa hangat, Anda merasa bahagia, karena Anda dapat memberikan semua kebutuhan mereka, dan mereka dapat bertransformasi, sehingga Anda merasa sangat-sangat bahagia.
So this is an example of taking adversity or something difficult in our life and transforming it into the Dharma path.
Ini contoh bagaimana menggunakan kesulitan atau tantangan dan mengubahnya menjadi jalan Dharma.
Okay. Now, when you do the meditation, you can't do it with the motivation of "I'm going to do this so that I feel better," because that's the wrong motivation. You have to do it as a way of training in love and compassion, because you really sincerely care about others.
Jadi Anda tidak boleh melakukan ini dengan motivasi supaya saya akan menjadi lebih baik. Ya, Anda harus melakukan ini dengan dasar Anda peduli dan ingin membahagiakan.
It's a good meditation. Try it.
meditasi yang baiknya, silakan Anda coba.
Okay, then here's verse 19. Though you become famous and many bow to you, and you gain riches equal to Vaishravana. Vaishravana is one of the wealth deities. Okay, so you gain riches equal to Vaishravana's. See that worldly fortune is without essence and be unconceited. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Jadi meskipun Anda terkenal dan banyak orang menunduk hormat kepada Anda dan Anda punya kekayaan yang sama seperti dewa kekayaan. Ya, Vaishravana ini dewa kekayaan. Lihatlah apa keberuntungan dunia itu tidak punya esensi, okay? Dan oleh sebab itu maka sebaiknya Anda tidak punya keraguan.
Okay. So this is the opposite of the preceding verse. The preceding verse, we were down and everything was going wrong. In this verse, things are going right, we're famous, people respect us, they even bow down to you, we're very wealthy, we have a good reputation.
Ya, dan ini kebalikan dari yang ayat sebelumnya. Kalau di ayat ini, maka kita punya kekayaan, reputasi, katakan saja hidup kita ini begitu sempurna, begitu luar biasa, begitu agung.
So when that happens, we tend to get a bit conceited. It's like, I'm so good. Look how rich I am. Aren't you jealous? Aren't you envious that I have so much wealth? Or I'm so famous, you know, you should respect me because I know so much and I have power. And I have good looks, and I have everything.
Jadi kita jadi sombong. Hey, aku punya semuanya. Aku punya banyak uang. Aku kaya. Aku ganteng. Aku terkenal. Semua orang kenal saya. Sombong lo.
Okay, so we tend to get pretty conceited and lord it over other people. Oh, you poor slobs.
Kita jadi sombong dan apa ya, merendahkan orang lain. Ah, dasar kau miskin, bae. Ah, itu nah ya.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really too bad. If you were as smart as me, then you would be as famous, as rich, as artistic, as athletic, as perfect as me.
Coba aja kamu sedikit lebih pintar, pasti kamu juga lebih kaya, lebih segar, lebih terkenal, lebih sehat seperti saya. Payah kamu tuh.
Again, Trump is a very good example.
Ya, contoh paling gampang itu adalah Anda lihat. Artinya contoh orang yang sombong.
Some people don't like when I say this about the president, but it's true, you know.
It's just as it is. Ya, ada orang juga yang kadang tidak suka saya ngomong ini, tapi itu kenyataannya, itu apa adanya.
Okay, so you know who I'm voting for.
Jadi Anda tahu saya akan milih siapa ya.
Okay.
So, I wish I could give you my vote.
Oh yes, I wish you could come and vote too. We want to win this election. Okay. So, what the advice we're getting here is that instead of getting all puffed up, yeah, and arrogant about it, to see that all this worldly fortune, at the end of the day, it isn't worth anything. It has no essence to it.
Jadi kita renungkan ya bahwa di akhir kehidupan kita semua kekayaan itu nggak ada gunanya, tidak ada esensinya. Ya.
So you could have a ton of money, but that doesn't mean you're a good person. Yeah. And it doesn't mean when you die that you're going to have any virtuous karma to take with you to the next life. In fact, sometimes it means the exact opposite.
Ini berarti meskipun Anda punya uang yang banyak, bukan berarti Anda adalah orang baik. Dan hati-hati, karena malah ini dapat membuat orang membuat karma buruk. Ya.
Okay. And, you know, because when we die, all of the wealth stays here. You can't take any of it with you.
Ketika kita meninggal, kekayaan kita tetap tinggal di sini. Tidak ada yang dapat kita bawa.
Yeah. And instead, your family all fights over who's going to get it.
Bahkan keluarga Anda akan berkelahi, ribut untuk menentukan siapa yang dapat harta Anda.
True or not true?
Betul apa betul?
Yeah. This is what very often happens in families, you know, that are wealthy, is after the parent dies and they're all fighting at each other. I mean, Trump's family, this happened, you know, and his niece is suing him and some of the her other aunts and uncles.
Ya, dan seperti kita tahu di keluarga yang super kaya, ketika orang tua meninggal, maka terjadi perebutan harta, ya, sehingga terjadi ya perebutan harta dan contohkan di, ini juga terjadi di keluarga Trump di mana dia dituntut secara hukum oleh paman bibinya dan juga keponakan-keponakan.
Yeah. We could be very very famous, but when we die, our fame doesn't come with us. We take rebirth, you know, in another realm. You know, when you're reborn, you have no reputation, you have no money, you're totally broke. Yeah, so all these kind of worldly things, reputation and money and status, they aren't worth anything.
Ya, jadi sekali lagi diingatkan, kekayaan, ketenaran itu tidak ada nilai apapun. Jadi ketika kita lahir kembali, kita tidak membawa apa-apa. Kita tidak membawa lagi ketenaran yang kita miliki sebelumnya.
And what comes out with us instead is the negative karma we created by lying and cheating and bad-mouthing people so that we could get the money and the prestige.
Ya, yang kita bawa malah karma-karma buruk dari kita berbohong atau mencuri, curang agar kita mendapatkan kekayaan dan ketenaran tersebut.
And from a Buddhist viewpoint, it's much better to live an ethical life and be a kind person and be generous. And, you know, if you don't have tons of wealth and reputation and status, that doesn't matter because at least you don't have any regret in your life for having done negative actions towards other people.
Dari sudut pandang Buddhis, lebih baik kita hidup yang biasa-biasa saja menjalankan sila. Ya. Karena itu jauh lebih baik karena kita tidak ada penyesalan yang diakibatkan dari kita menyakiti orang lain.
Yeah. An example, many years ago, I went on pilgrimage in China. And I was traveling with some of my Chinese friends who lived there. And one day we were going by bus and we stopped at a little tea store. And we were having tea and on the wall of the tea store was a picture of the Gang of Four. You remember the Gang of Four that was, that ruled, you know, the People's Republic of China?
Oh,
there was a picture of them, you know, Mao, and I forget who the other three were.
Jadi satu ketika saya dalam ziarah ke China, bersama dengan teman-teman di Tiongkok waktu itu, dan kami pergi naik bus, dan di tengah perjalanan kami berhenti di sebuah tempat minum teh, dan di dinding tempat tersebut ada foto dari geng, ya, ada 4 geng. Ini adalah sebuah istilah untuk 4 pembesar Tiongkok. Salah satunya adalah Mao Zedong, 3 lagi saya lupa.
So when those people were alive, lots of wealth and fame and power. But now they're dead. And my friends, my Chinese friends, looked at that picture and they said to me, oh, now all these people are probably in the hell realm.
Saat 4 itu masih hidup, mereka punya semua kekayaan, ketenaran. Dan teman Tiongkok saya mengatakan, 4 orang itu mungkin sekarang di alam neraka.
Okay, so no reason to get conceited over worldly success.
It's jadi tidak
maintain a kind, compassionate heart.
Jadi tidak ada yang perlu disombongkan dari ketenaran dan kekayaan duniawi. Lebih baik Anda punya hati yang baik.
Okay. Then verse 20 says, while the enemy of your own anger is unsubdued, though you conquer external foes, they will only increase. Therefore, with the militia of love and compassion, subdue your own mind. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Ayat 20 ini mengajarkan kita bahwa ketika musuh dari kemarahan Anda itu belum ditaklukkan, ya, meskipun Anda menguasai atau mengalahkan musuh di luar, musuh kemarahan ini hanya akan bertumbuh makin besar. Oleh sebab itu, dengan kekuatan kasih dan welas asih, taklukkan pikiran Anda. Inilah praktik bodhisattva.
So this is a verse about anger and what to do with our anger.
Syair ini berhubungan dengan kemarahan dan bagaimana cara mengatasinya.
And it starts out by calling anger our enemy.
Dan ini dimulai dengan menyatakan bahwa kemarahan adalah musuh Anda.
Very often we feel anger is our friend. We feel
ya, kita sering merasa bahwa kemarahan adalah kawan kita.
Yeah. The anger is going to protect us. So if somebody's harming us or treating us unfairly and we get angry, then we are strong and we're going to stop them from doing those horrible things to us. So we usually see anger as a friend in that way.
Ya, kita menganggap kawan itu, kemarahan adalah kawan, ya. Kemarahan itu akan membela kita. Jadi ketika kita disakiti, kita muncul kemarahan, itu menganggap bahwa diri kita itu jadi kuat, jadi punya kekuatan.
But I think we really need to ask, does anger protect us from harm?
Kita harus merenungkan apakah marah itu melindungi kita dari rasa sakit.
Okay. So first of all, you know, to see if anger benefits us, ask yourself, are you happy when you're angry?
Okay. Pertanyaan pertama untuk merenungkan apakah kemarahan itu menguntungkan, pertanyaan pertama adalah, apakah Anda bahagia ketika Anda marah?
Anybody happy when they're mad?
Ada yang bahagia nggak waktu lagi ngamuk?
Okay, so right away we know that anger isn't conducive towards human happiness. When you're angry, do you say things that you would never say to somebody when you were calm? In other words, do you become very aggressive, very abusive in your speech? You insult, you criticize, you disparage.
Ya, ketika Anda sedang marah, apakah kayak gini? Kalau kita lagi sadar,
lagi tenang, apakah kita akan mengatakan kata-kata yang akan memarahi orang, membuat orang jadi kecewa atau memaki dan sebagainya pada saat kita sedang sadar.
And so when you yell and scream and insult somebody else, does that bring about the goal that you want? Does somebody immediately stop harming you? Do they all go, oh, I'm terribly sorry for disturbing you. Please forgive me. I'll stop right away. Is that what happens when you shout and scream and insult?
Jadi saat bila kita, ketika kita memaki, menghina orang, apakah orang itu, apakah Anda mendapatkan yang Anda mau? Apakah orang itu langsung mohon maaf, ya? Apakah itu yang terjadi?
No, that's not how people respond, is it? They yell and scream back, they slam the door, they walk out, they won't talk to you, they pick something up and they throw it at you.
Kenyataannya tidak, ya. Itu bukan balasan yang Anda dapat. Anda malah dimaki balik, dihina balik, atau bahkan dia melemparkan barang kepada Anda.
So anger may make us feel strong, but it doesn't always, and it doesn't usually, get us what we want.
Marah mungkin, ya kadang lah, membuat kita merasa kuat, tapi tidak serta-merta mampu membuat kita mendapatkan yang kita mau.
Okay. I'll tell you a story of one time when I got quite angry at a friend of mine.
Okay, saya punya kisah dari tentang teman saya.
So he was using the car that belonged to another friend, and this car, the hood of the car didn't always stay down, and sometimes it would fly up when you were driving. So you had to be very, very careful.
Jadi temannya nyetir mobil, punya temannya, dan hoodnya, penutupnya itu tidak selalu bekerja dengan baik, ya. Jadi Anda harus sangat hati-hati.
So I had said to my friend, you know, you have to be really careful. It's better if you go and try and get the hood fixed, yeah, rather than leave it in this situation where it could be dangerous. But he didn't want to do that.
Jadi saya sarankan, udah lebih baik kamu perbaiki dulu daripada nanti jadi bahaya. Tapi dia nggak mau pergi perbaiki.
So one day we were supposed to meet. He was driving from somewhere, and he was supposed to come about 5 o'clock. And 5 o'clock came, it went, he didn't come. He wasn't there at 6. 5:30, he wasn't there at 6. Finally, I forget what time he actually came, but it was late.
Satu hari kami janjian pukul 5. Tapi dia 5:30 nggak datang, 6:00 nggak datang. Akhirnya muncul juga, tapi saya tidak ingat 8:00 karena dia sangat terlambat.
Okay. So when he came in the door, yeah, I looked at him and I said, you know, I said, what happened? And he said, well, the hood flew up when I was driving on the highway. And I said, you know, you knew it was dangerous. Why didn't you fix it? And you're so late. Why didn't you call me? Because I was worried about, you know, what was going on. And I was really mad.
Jadi temannya datang karena terlambat. Lalu saya tanya, kenapa? Oh, penutup mobil saya terbang. Kan saya udah bilang, kamu tuh pergi betulin, ini bahaya. Saya sangat marah kepada dia.
Okay. So you can imagine that that what I said did not help the friendship at all.
Anda lihat apa yang saya ucapkan itu sama sekali tidak mendukung persahabatan kami.
But when I thought about it afterwards and I asked myself, why did I feel so, you know, get so angry, what I realized was actually, I wasn't feeling anger, I was feeling relief because I cared about him and I was concerned that maybe he had been in an accident. So when he came, I felt like, oh, good, he's safe. But how do I show that? I get mad and I...
Jadi sesungguhnya setelah saya renungkan, saya ini bukan marah, saya tuh merasa lega karena saya khawatir, saya cemas, dan ketika dia muncul, saya merasa oh akhirnya dia datang juga dan dia aman. Tapi ekspresi saya adalah seperti itu.
Okay. So my point is here that very often when we're angry, we don't even know what's going on in ourselves.
Jadi intinya, ketika kita marah, kita sesungguhnya tidak tahu apa yang sedang terjadi dalam diri kita.
And then we say all sorts of things that damage the relationship. And the person doesn't turn around and agree with us afterwards. We may intimidate them and they may stop doing what they're doing out of fear. But fear doesn't mean they respect us. It doesn't mean they like us. Quite to the contrary.
Ya, jadi ya akhirnya kita ingin orang tersebut melakukan apa yang kita mau, tapi kenyataannya tidak semudah itu. Dan bila itu pun dilakukan, maka dilakukan dengan dasar rasa takut. Dan rasa takut itu bukan menghormati, malah sebaliknya.
So we're running out of time now.
Yeah.
I got through part of what I wanted to say about verse 20, so I'll continue next time. But we have a few minutes, or maybe we can have Q&A.
Yeah. Jadi kita sudah selesai sampai syair 20 yang saya rencanakan. Kita ada sedikit waktu untuk tanya jawab. Okay. Well, we have questions in the chat room, but it's not quite related with the topic. But let me just read out for you, and let's say if you are willing to answer the questions.
Okay.
Venerable, could you share point of view regarding why there is no bhikkhuni in the Theravada tradition?
Ah.
That's why I said it's not truly related.
Yeah, well, the lineage for giving the ordination in the Theravada tradition, it died out a long time ago. And although they could, and some Theravada monks and nuns have gone to the Chinese tradition, the Dharmaguptaka tradition, received the ordination there and then brought it back to the Theravada countries. So there are some, starting to be some bhikkhunis there. Some of the monks agree, some of the monks don't agree because they don't want to take the lineage from another type of Buddhism. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Jadi ini persoalan yang bergantung kepada berapa pendapat ya, karena tradisi Theravada itu tidak menerima ordinasi dari kelompok lain. Sedangkan di satu masa ketika bhikkhunya sudah tidak ada satu upaya untuk membuat penapisan baru melalui tradisi Dharmagupta. Dan ada biku yang sepakat dan tidak. Jadi ini persoalan adalah tentang pendapat dari masing-masing guru dan masing-masing tradisi. Venerable Somo used to tell the story of that.
Uh-huh.
Karma Lekse shared the story many times.
So the situation is similar in the Tibetan tradition. So that's why I went to Taiwan and I took the Bhikshuni ordination in Taiwan. So it's from a different form of Buddhism, but to me, it's all the Buddha's teachings, and I don't care.
Exactly. Ya, saya juga sama di Tibetan juga ada beberapa yang tidak sepakat, oleh sebab itu saya ditapiskan secara penuh di Taiwan. Ada yang tidak setuju, tapi saya tidak terlalu pedulinya. Maybe Venerable can also share that the Dalai Lama also supports the Bhikkhu lineage.
Yeah, the Dalai Lama supports it, but many of the other monks are very conservative. Similar in like Sri Lanka, there are some monks who support it, and so some women are able to take it in Sri Lanka, but then there are other monks that don't support it.
Exactly. In Udayana family, we all tradition.
Yeah.
In Indonesia.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's really nice about Ekayana is you don't make a big deal about this kind of stuff.
Ya, di Indonesia, khususnya di Udayana, ya, tadi Venerable nyebut Ekayana, kita memang tidak mempermasalahkan masalah ini. Oke.
We have one more from Runa. I think this will be the question. Do you mind if I read it out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we frequently contemplate and train ourselves to see suffering of others and unfairness in this world,
mm-hmm.
it sometimes can lead us to feel so powerless mm-hmm. and depressed due to the feeling that there are not many things we can do to help others, except maybe just praying for them. So how do we balance this?
Okay. Well, this is one of the reasons why we want to practice the path and become Buddhas. Because as ordinary living beings, we're quite limited in our wisdom, in our compassion, in our power, in our skill. If we're able to practice the path and gain Dharma realizations and gain some of these powers that the holy beings have, then we can really do so much more to benefit others.
Ya, inilah motivasi mengapa kita berlatih. Karena kita punya keterbatasan sehingga kita tidak mampu menolong semua. Ya. Berupaya mencapai pembebasan dan mencapai kebudayaan, itulah kita jadi mempunyai kekuatan untuk dapat menolong dan membebaskan banyak makhluk.
Yeah. So then we feel more motivated to practice the path.
Dengan ini kita akan lebih termotivasi untuk mempraktikkan, berpraktik di dalam jalan Dharma.
But also we have to realize that practicing the path, it's not going to be like we become, you know, Buddha in a few weeks or a few months or a few years. It's going to take a while, but it's very, very valuable to do that.
Jadi kita tidak mungkin mencapai Buddha dalam waktu dekat ya, satu minggu, satu bulan, satu tahun. Tapi ini adalah sebuah praktik yang sangat berharga untuk terus dilakukan.
Okay. So we have to have a very long-term perspective and realize that, you know, we're not going to be able to help everybody instantaneously.
Kind of thing. Ini adalah,
develop our own skills and learn how to help people in a gradual way.
Nah, inilah praktik jangka panjang. Kita juga tidak dapat langsung menolong semua makhluk. Kita harus pahami adalah sebuah proses yang berjalan secara bertahap.
Okay. But you feel very energized because you know you're on yours. You feel so fortunate because you met the Buddha's teachings. You have the teachings. You're practicing the path. You have teachers. So even though it's going to take a long time to get to Buddhahood, as you practice slowly, slowly, your ability to be a benefit is slowly increases. And there's a real feeling of meaning and purpose in your life.
Dan kita punya energi
punya semangat, punya guru, punya kesempatan, mempunyai sumber daya untuk dapat terus berlatih. Dan dengan ini, maka kita punya rasa bahwa tujuan hidup kita ini mempunyai makna dan tujuan.
That's a good thing to end with.
Yes. Thank you, Venerable, for today's session.
Thank you. Okay. So I think there's the dedication prayers.
Yes, there is. Rudy will lead us. Rudy Chang is going to lead us the dedication.
Okay. Rudy.
Yes, Venerable. Okay. Baiklah, teman-teman semua. Mari kita melakukan dedikasi atas praktek kebajikan kita mendengarkan Dharma pada hari ini. Saya akan share link-nya. Kita bacakan bersama-sama dalam bahasa Indonesia. Sudah terlihat ya, Ming, di layar?
Bagus, Pak. Bagus.
Oke. Baik, dengan penuh konsentrasi, kita bacakan dedikasi kebajikan ini. Dengan kebajikan ini, semoga kita segera mencapai pencerahan seperti Guru Buddha, maka kita mampu membebaskan semua makhluk dari penderitaannya. Semoga batin pencerahan yang berharga ini, bila belum muncul, akan segera bangkit dan berkembang. Semoga yang telah bangkit tidak merosot, tetapi terus berkembang selama-lamanya. Dan kita akan bacakan satu slide lagi, yaitu empat kemuliaan tanpa batas. Mari kita bacakan sambil kita resapi kata-katanya. Semoga semua makhluk mempunyai kebahagiaan dan sebab-sebabnya. Semoga semua makhluk terbebas dari penderitaan dan sebab-sebabnya. Semoga semua makhluk tidak terpisahkan dari kebahagiaan murni. Semoga semua makhluk dalam keseimbangan batin, bebas dari sikap memihak, kemelekatan, dan kemarahan. Semoga bermanfaat bagi semua makhluk. Terima kasih, Moming. Silakan saya kembalikan ke Moming.
Yes. So, Venerable, thank you so much for today's
session. Sure. And thank you very much for translating.